Welcome, I'm Matthew from the Travel Podcast, and on this episode we're going to be exploring Louisiana, covering everything there is to do around the states, and we're joined by three special guests. Mike and Lauren from Louisiana Travel, who are joining us live from Louisiana. Hi Mike, hi Lauren.
Hi y'all.
Hey everyone.
And Neil, who is based in the UK and works for Louisiana Travel also. So hi Neil.
Hi, how are you?
All good, all good. And we're going to be really delving into their recommendations on things to do when you're visiting the wonderful state of Louisiana, from local food and drink and to must tries and the history and culture of this great state and much more. Including playing music clips throughout this episode to take you there musically and really give you the vibe of Louisiana. The music we have playing is Second Line by Stop Inc. And Second Lining has been called the quintessentially New Orleans art form. You may come across Second Line during your visit, and you can even join the Second Line at many New Orleans festivals. So to start us off, for those listeners that might not have heard of Louisiana and they're not too sure where it might be, how can listeners get there and where is it located in the USA? So Mike, if I come over to you for that one.
Yes. Well, we start off with telling everybody that we are the mouth of the Mississippi River. So as you know, that tells everybody where we are. Our main city is New Orleans. We are on the Gulf of Mexico. We drain two-thirds of the nation. To our west is Texas, and to our right is Mississippi. So that kind of gives everybody a perspective, because it's such a vast country. But when they know that we're the mouth of the Mississippi flowing into the Gulf of Mexico, which is also the main influencer of our culture and our history, they kind of figure out exactly where we are.
And Neil, I just wanted to ask you, so for those who were listening from Europe and especially the UK, is it quite easy, as you're based in the UK office, to get out to Louisiana? Anna, where would be the main ports to get out to the state?
We're actually blessed with a lot of, you know, really easy flight carriages in and around the region. So, of course, you've got the British Airways direct service from Heathrow to New Orleans. But alongside that, you've also got flights into Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, and then you can get connected flights down to New Orleans, Shreveport, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, any of the cities throughout. So it's really easy with one connection at most to get into Louisiana
and explore. And Lauren, for those who are actually listening to us around the US, do people get there by train, can drive? Is there lots of flights into the state?
Absolutely. We've got 7 airports in the state that they can fly into, make connections to whichever city they'd like to. But as far as driving, we're 2 hours from Houston, 3 hours from Dallas. We're 3 hours from the prettiest beaches in Florida, and we're about 7 hours from Atlanta. A lot of people like to, you know, just drive, take their time here, because once they're here, you know, they're going to stay a while.
Mike, I know we previously met when you were on this side of the ponds, and we were enjoying watching New Orleans Saints play at Wembley, so we had a great time there. And one of the things that really stuck with me is how much history and culture Louisiana has. And a couple of things that are now on my list to do when visiting Louisiana next is attending Mardi Gras and learning more about the Cajun and Creole culture. Can you share with the listeners some of the historical side and then cultural sides of Louisiana and some of your favorite things?
Well, sure, because being the mouth of the Mississippi River and the major port city in the United States for years and years, it's a collection of cultures, influences, we had the Native Americans, and then, of course, the Europeans, first Europeans who came were the French. Cavalier de la Salle claimed all the Mississippi River Valley for King Louis XIV of France. Then came the Spanish, and then later the Brits. Actually, but we're also heavily influenced by Afro-Caribbean culture, because New Orleans originally was in the Diocese of Havana, Cuba. And so Cuba and Haiti were very influential in the same time of the development of New Orleans. In fact, right after the revolution in Haiti with Toussaint Louverture, the population of New Orleans doubled in 1 month. And just like the problems we're going through today, they were kept on the ships for a while until they could process them off there. And that's when New Orleans became, in the late 1700s, the major port and a major mixed, what we call mixed city. And then eventually the British, Spain used to have Florida, but Florida came all the way to the Mississippi River. So you have a mixture of Spanish, Afro-Caribbean, French, English, because the English came and settled in the southeastern part of Louisiana. And all that led to an amazing kind of strange, quirky culture that we have in Louisiana. And then Lauren, you want to say about the biggest influence after that on the Acadians?
Absolutely. So the Acadians were exiled from Nova Scotia once they refused to sign an oath of allegiance to Britain, which would have made them loyal to the crown. And so when they left, a lot of them settled in the Northeast. And when you go up to the Northeastern United States, you'll find names that are very similar to the names down here, names like Boudreaux and Thibodeau, but they're spelled differently. And then a lot of them made their way down here. So when they got here, they didn't want them in New Orleans because they were French. The Spanish didn't want them there. And so they had to come to the country. And so they come to this area where it's swamp. And these are people who came from, you know, cold temperatures. They grew wheat. They grew, you know, all sorts of crops that didn't exist here. And they had to figure out very quickly how to learn. And so the Native Americans taught them a lot about farming, like rice. They learned to, you know, plant rice. They taught them how to eat crawfish, you know, which were, you know, amply available. And so they formed all this food. There's an old expression that we have. Give 3 chickens to a Creole cook, he can feed a family. Give 1 chicken to a Creole cook, to a Cajun cook, he can feed 3 families. So Cajuns were very resourceful because they had such limited resources. And so what happened was, you know, they lived here and they continued to build this community. And then when World War II came around, just around the time World War II began, assimilation was pressed, you know, to the locals. And so they were told, don't speak French, speak English. And so all of a sudden this war is going on and they need French speakers. And you've got these people who their first language was French. So all of a sudden the Cajuns, you know, became very popular in the United States. And so they went over and they helped with the war efforts. And so since then, they've remained a very thriving culture. And for the past 40 to 50 years, you've seen the Cajun influence move over to New Orleans. And so when you go over there, you'll see both the Creole and the Cajun cultures meshing together.
That's very interesting, because I know, Neil, we've spoken when we met up in the UK about some of the cool Louisiana words, and so one of my favorite is cocodrie, which I'm pretty sure is alligator. Did I do that right, Mike?
Yes, very good.
I loved it. I was like, yes. But yeah, it's amazing how much history and culture there is from how many people have actually lived in Louisiana and used that Mississippi River as a resource. And because there's been so many different people and so many different cultures living in throughout the Mississippi River in Louisiana, there must be some sort of quirks and obviously a lot of culture, Mike, that really epitomizes the state compared to anywhere else in America, because a lot of people go, America is quite the same, but not Louisiana.
Yeah, well, because the Acadians were isolated with people of other races, what we call Creole, and in modern times, Creole has devolved into meaning mixed races. That wasn't the original meaning. The original meaning was anybody from the colony, but now it's come to mean the great culture that was created by having mixed cultures here, mixed races. So it created this, what we call a joie de vivre. And this is very common saying here, you know, the joy of living, zest for living, and with indigenous music and just a joy of living because you were isolated and you survived for all these years before you entered modern world, global culture. So it's created some really quirky kind of unusual words and customs and fun stuff like one thing we're thinking of is like, you know, Mardi Gras. Everybody has Mardi Gras because we're Catholic, but ours is a little bit different in the country where you ride into the farmlands and ask for chickens and pigs for your gumbo, and you got to chase it down, and they're drunk and they're fighting over the animals. It's really a lot of fun. We have fait dodos, which means a fait dodo comes from the word in French, faire dormir, go to sleep. And my grandparents would put us in the corner and they'd say, hey, you go fait dodo, you go to sleep because the adults are going to stay up and play cards and dance and drink all night. So now in modern Louisiana, when you see an advertising for a dance at a club, it's a fait dodo. You know, oh, we're going fait dodo tonight. So that's just the name of a dance now.
I think it's a funny one as well. If you obviously you take Mardi Gras as this worldwide phenomenon, everyone knows, heard of Mardi Gras, but we then literally translate it back to Fat Tuesday. And, you know, in England, we're frying pancakes and putting some sugar and lemon on them, whereas in Louisiana, they're really celebrating the right way. Great food, dancing, music, and maybe a cocktail or two along the way as well.
Sure, many listeners, potentially even those in the States, but definitely from around the world, wouldn't have realized that there's actually Mardi Gras goes on outside of New Orleans, because most of them would think, oh, it's New Orleans, this is what Mardi Gras is. But as you mentioned there, Mike, is actually goes out into the countryside, and it's a big cultural thing for the whole of Louisiana.
And to get you into the vibe of what to expect when visiting a Mardi Gras in Louisiana, enjoy this short music clip from The Meters, Mardi Gras Mambo.
On that, I know another big thing is from the culture, and I know, Lauren, you mentioned it earlier about the food and the cooking, and crawfish boils is another great thing, but also sort of tailgating, which I think is a great cultural thing for Louisiana. I know we'll talk about it a little bit later, but on that, when we're looking at culture and quirks, is there anything else that people really need to try and get out and explore and try when they're visiting Louisiana?
Absolutely. A real popular occasion here in Louisiana for the locals, and you know, we encourage you to do what the locals do, is a Saturday morning jazz brunch. It's a dance, you know, combined with food. And it's just one of those experiences that you'll take with you, you know, the rest of your life. Something else we have, one of those must-haves you must do while you're here, is a second line in New Orleans. It's something you'll never experience. They're used to celebrate life, death, weddings. It's just an important, you know, part of the culture here. And so I would highly encourage that if you're here in New Orleans, you know, taking part in them. So definitely a lot to do. And, you know, those are among the must-haves here.
Again, you take the same motto, that's the bon temps brûlé. You know, the good times roll. So that's, whether it's commemorating the passing of a loved one or celebrating the Saints winning the Super Bowl, we're going to do it right.
Yeah, and some of that is manifested in some quirky traditions. For example, every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., there's a famous bar in Mamou where people go and dance and eat and sing at 7 a.m. And then at 8 a.m. in around the Lafayette area, you have these Zydeco breakfasts where the band is playing at 8 a.m. and everybody's dancing and eating breakfast. And that's a lot of fun, and our visitors really enjoy that because everybody dances with everybody at a Zydeco breakfast.
There's some Zydeco music from popular artist Rockin' Dubsy Jr. with They All Ask For You.
Monkeys act, the tigers act, and the elephant act.
Any time of the day in Louisiana, you can find yourself some live music and some dancing. So what are you trying to say, Mike?
Oh, yes.
And yes, tying it into definitely. Food is a big thing. So obviously you mentioned it there, you've got dancing and food combined in a breakfast, but throughout, are there any specific dishes or types of food and drink that are unique to Louisiana? And then what would be some of your recommendations?
Yeah, actually, we have a little test for you, Matthew, okay?
Okay, here we go.
For your listeners, write this down. It's not difficult, even though it's radio. B-O-U-D-I-N. B as in boy, O-U-D-I-N. Would you pronounce that for us?
Boudin.
Love it.
It's Boudin.
Boudin. Okay. I mean, for me, if anyone knows me and has been listening when I've been trying to pronounce any other language throughout our episodes, that's quite good for me.
Yeah, it's our sausage. It's actually a rice dressing stuffed into a sausage casing. All right, look, I've got another one for you real quick, yeah. Okay? Ready? E, T as in Tom, O-U-F-F-E-E, E-T T-O-U-F-F-E-E.
I hope everyone who's listening is playing along at home as well.
Right, that's the idea.
Yeah, yeah. Etouffé?
Not bad.
Etouffé. Uh-huh. Yeah, very, very good. It's a dish, a famous dish here, especially made with crawfish. We have shrimp etouffé and alligator etouffé, and it means smothered. You smother everything down, and it's really cool. You serve it over rice.
So you mean you have a cocodrille etouffé?
Yeah, you could. You could easily have a cocodrille etouffé. Uh-huh. It's a very common word, and we use it all the time. So that's something your listeners can play with. Etouffé and boudin.
I love it. And I mean, I probably should do a little bit better soon, as I did. I did live in France for 6 months, but yeah.
Well, tu parles français ou non?
Yeah. So that, which is why I should do a little bit better with interpreting these. But and so it's nice. So I know a lot of people may know about gumbo. Neil, what is your first experience when going out to Louisiana and the food?
I mean, the first and foremost thing you need to know is that whatever size pants or trousers or top you're wearing when you go out, you need to have a slightly bigger size for when you come home. Louisiana is all about the enjoyment of food. You're not going there necessarily to be on a health kick or all the rest of it. And I think sometimes probably a gumbo is pretty much the perfect encapsulation of Louisiana. It's, you know, all these, you know, Louisiana has got all these cultures and nationalities, and everything's kind of thrown in together, blended together, and it comes out perfect. The gumbo, again, you know, everyone's going to make a gumbo slightly differently. Different people use different ingredients, but it's a real melting pot, flavors and tastes, and it's delicious. I think Mike was actually really kind as well, because the words he gave you to pronounce, the one I would have gone with is B-E-I-G-N-E-T-S.
Hold on, let me get my pen and paper. That's hold on, let me go again.
Yeah, B-E-I-G-N-E-T-S.
Benoits?
Beignets.
Beignets.
You were close. I think this French advantage you have there is kicking in.
Well, I mean, it should be a lot better, let's be honest.
Beignet.
Yeah, that would have been a tough one. See, Neil, Mike's a lot nicer than yourself.
Yeah, it's very, a lot of the words are French words, of course, but, and we're heavily seafood here. It's a very Catholic state, of course. So Fridays, you don't eat meat. And Friday is the big seafood day, although we eat it all the time. But economically, we're second to Alaska in all seafood, if you count the total amount. We're not a big state, but we're half land, half water, so much wetlands, et cetera. We have an enormous amount of seafood inshore and offshore, and it's second in the United States. So that's pretty impressive.
I think that's another thing to notice, actually, is kind of back to that kind of Cajun history and heritage as well, is that nothing goes to waste. Whatever Louisianans were doing farm-stable food long before it became a trend or a marketing phrase. You know, it's like they were farming from the land, eating what they caught, and, you know, nothing gets wasted the Cajun way.
And Lauren, cocktails are one of my favorite thing, and doing a bit of research, I'm gonna probably butcher this name, so apologies, Mike, in advance. I'm gonna see the disapproval look that you'll give me when I say this. Cesarac house. I don't know why I said house in a French accent, but yeah. But I know they've got a famous gin cocktail, I believe. Is that right, Lauren? And what's it like for the drink side of visiting Louisiana?
Absolutely. We love to celebrate, and, you know, drinks are a big part of that. The Sazerac was invented in New Orleans in the early 1800s. And so there's a new, so the Sazerac itself, as you said, is a gin-based drink. You can find them throughout the state, but, you know, in my opinion, you're going to find the best ones in New Orleans. There's a new interactive museum called the Sazerac House that celebrates the Sazerac and tells a story of it. And there's samplings, and the nice thing about it is it's free. We've also got the Ramos Gin Fizz, which was invented in New Orleans, and it's got lemon juice, lime juice. It's a citrusy. So lots of drinks, lots of breweries here. We've got, you know, Abita Brewery in Abita Springs, Hannah, Louisiana area. We've got them in Shreveport, Lake Charles, Lafayette. We've also got Bayou Rum out of Lake Charles, just outside of Lake Charles in Moccasin, Louisiana. And so, you know, fortunately, we have a lot of work locally sourced. Products with sugar, you know, our satsumas are used in some of the alcohol. And so, you know, we're fortunate enough that we have a unique product here, and we definitely use them in our celebrations here.
And I think Mike's already got some of that Bayou rum in his coffee from our talk off air. No joking.
They make a great coffee liqueur.
Yeah, I love it. And one thing I learned from yourselves is Tabasco, which a lot of listeners may not know about. Is Tabasco is home in Louisiana as a great flavoring. Many people will be enjoying it around the world, and you can go and visit the factory where they make it. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. Every drop of Tabasco sauce comes from Louisiana. It's bottled at the source in Louisiana. So along with Tabasco, you know, we've got a great heritage of hot sauces throughout the state as well. But Tabasco is a real highlight. Try the raspberry and chipotle Tabasco on ice cream. Then you've really tried it the Louisiana way.
Absolutely. It's good to hear. Well, a lot of people kind of run away when they hear Tabasco ice cream, but it's actually got a very delicate flavor to it. Tabasco has been around for over 150 years, and it's not only an institution here in Louisiana. I think it's just so easily recognizable all over the world. And so we're very fortunate. It's close to Lafayette. It's about 30 to 40 minute drive from Lafayette, Louisiana, and we highly encourage you to visit the Tabasco factory. It's a wonderful store. Or you can get some samples of Tabasco, as well as check out the gift shop where that lovely Tabasco
is. We've talked about the great food scene, and then throughout, you know, we've really highlighted, or you, not me personally, but yourselves really highlighted that, you know, festivals, music and dancing are big things across Louisiana, not just in New Orleans, which is world renowned for being such a vibrant city and probably the most famous for Mardi Gras. What can visitors expect to experience on a night out, and where can they dance either their breakfast away after enjoying a nice hearty breakfast, or even the night away? And what are some of the best festivals? I know there's so much that goes on across the whole state, and obviously, like I said, people know New Orleans. Are there other towns and cities people should explore to find those?
Yes, because we're really the only state that has two indigenous forms of music that were created here. The whole world knows jazz, of course, and jazz was born out of the rhythms of New Orleans. And then in the countryside, you have what we call Cajun Zydeco music, and that's nowhere else in America either. In fact, it's become very trendy to use Zydeco music in national commercials here and all. So those are the two indigenous forms, and then you mix that with the distinctly unique New Orleans rhythm and blues like Fats Domino, Professor Longhair, Dr. John. You might know them in England. And then we have something called Swamp Pop, which is a mixture of New Orleans rhythm and blues and rock and roll. So all of these things are really came together. So you can, whether you're in the city or in the country, you can go to a bar and hear cover bands and do original music or any of those genres. And they'll switch back and forth between those genres. So jazz influenced everything in Louisiana, of course. And then we have some famous musicians that you probably know about. Lauren, you want to start with some of them?
Definitely. I think everyone knows the late, great Louis Armstrong, the queen of pop Britney Spears from Louisiana, the great Fats Domino. Lauren Daigle, Grammy Award winning artist. She's from Louisiana. We've got Holly Jackson. Everyone knows Harry Connick Jr., I hope. We've got, you know, for those who like rap, we've got Lil Wayne, Master P, and we've got good old Tim McGraw from North Louisiana. We also have there's rap and hip hop, you know, outside of Louisiana, and we have it here too, but we've got our bounce music, which is a combination of some of the local sounds with rap in it. Big Frida is a great one.
Yeah, Big Frida is famous here now. She's becoming internationally famous. Also, if you remember last year, George Ezra did a duet with the Hot Ace Brass Band at your award ceremony. Shotgun, remember his song Shotgun?
Yeah.
At the Brit Awards? Yeah, well, that brass band on the stage behind him was the Hot 8 Brass Band from New Orleans. And that's New Orleans bounce music, which is our way of, it's kind of like a brassy rap kind of sound, which has become very popular in America now due to them. And then festival, all these music festivals are based, you know, music festivals are the same thing as food festivals here. You know, it's a weekend, every weekend there's some music festival with food booths and et cetera. Two of the most famous are in Lafayette, Festival Internacional de Lafayette, and then Festival Acadien et Creole. One's in spring, one's in fall, but it's just an excellent place to get together with the locals and taste all kinds of different foods from around the state. state. The one, Lauren, what's more?
Absolutely. You know, can't miss is your Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest in New Orleans. I think those, you know, people come in from all over the world. They're so well known. We've also got Mudbug Madness up in Shreveport. In the southwestern part of the state near Lake Charles, we have the Pirate Festival. And again, you can find, we have over 400 festivals in here. We've got weird festivals like the Rougarou Festival, which is a fictional swamp monster. And there's a lot of different ways to spell and say that. We've also got a huge festival here is our food fest. We've got shrimp festivals, crawfish festivals. We've got the frog festival in Rain, Louisiana. And then don't forget the Natchitoches Christmas Festival. Natchitoches is one of the oldest cities in Louisiana and in the United States. And they do a wonderful, wonderful celebration at Christmas Festival.
We have po' boy festivals. Every single food item is its own festival.
I think the important thing that's it is, so, I mean, that's it. Mardi Gras pretty much marks the start of festival season. And the sign of Louisiana is the fact that festival season will then run right through up until Christmas. You've got bonfires on the levee and amazing festivals throughout the year. So absolutely everyone will have heard of Mardi Gras. But as far as festivals go, there's really never a bad time in Louisiana because you're always going to find some kind of celebration.
And that's perfect because...
Never a dull moment.
It definitely doesn't sound like it's a dull moment at all, Lauren. And on that note, Neil, you brought up a good point there. You know, there's a festival for everyone. It's not just about Mardi Gras. Where can the listeners find out, like, if they wanted to do a bit of research and maybe visit on around some of these festivals? Is there a website they can go on and find this information?
Yeah, so if you go on to the Louisiana Travel website, there's actually an entire session on there dedicated to festivals. And that'll give you a rundown of each month, what festival's going on where, what kind of music, what kind of food you can expect, about all festivals and the celebration of joy.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much for that. And we mentioned earlier the history of Louisiana and how it was entwined with World War II. And I know there's a brilliant national World War II museum in New Orleans. What other attractions and things can visitors do when they're exploring Louisiana, Mike?
Yeah, well, just to continue with your World War II museum, what happened was this started as the National D-Day Museum. Because of the British connection with New Orleans, all the boats for the landing craft for Normandy were built in New Orleans and conceived by Andrew Higgins. And that's why Eisenhower said he helped save the war effort. And because so many Americans were stationed in the countryside of England, this museum highlighted that connection with England and World War II and the Allies invading France. But now it has morphed into becoming the official National World War II Museum for the whole country. And it's becoming this 3 or 4 block huge place. They just opened an $80 million Pacific Theater. So it tells the story of all the battles of World War II. So that's fascinating. There are many other things to do in New Orleans. Some of our big attractions, of course, you probably know, Tabasco Factory, the riverboats. Everybody goes in a riverboat for a 2-hour ride or overnight ride. You got to go to our jazz clubs. Our swamp tours are very famous because right outside the cities, you have alligators and wildlife everywhere. So there's over 25 to 28 swamp tour companies that will take you out into the swamps where you can see alligators and wildlife. We just instituted our brand new civil rights trail to couple up with our African-American heritage trail. So many movies about that period are filmed here in Louisiana. But what we attempted to do is tell the story of how these brave people in the 40s and 50s and 60s were able to overcome and fight these rules or laws that did not make all citizens equal. So that's really a great trail that a lot of Europeans are interested in.
And with that, is there, again, if someone wants to use the website that Neil mentioned earlier, Louisiana Travel, to potentially plan a trip to really highlight that civil rights trail, is that possible?
Yes, there's an itinerary builder on there that you can build it yourself based on which direction you want to go. I did also want to point that, you know, one of our other top attractions is we have the tallest state capitol in the United States, and all the kids in America have a passport where they can go visit 50 capitals. But the Louisiana Capitol, built in the 30s by our governor, who was assassinated inside, is one of the top attractions in the state. It's free, and everybody goes through there, whether you're coming from Natchez or from Memphis or from Houston. It's just an excellent stop. It's my favorite modern building in the whole world, actually.
And are there any sort of surprising things the listeners may not think of when potentially going to visit Louisiana and finding something unique, Lauren?
Most definitely. We have the longest bridge in the world, the Pontchartrain Causeway Bridge. Again, you guys know about Tabasco. Elvis Presley actually got his start in North Louisiana, Shreveport, at the Municipal Auditorium. That famous line, Elvis has left the building, was coined there. And after that, he just became a superstar.
And you can visit there and go in the dressing rooms.
Absolutely. We've got the oldest streetcar and tram line in the United States in New Orleans. We've got the Port of Orleans. That is something that we also wanted to mention, is that there are cruises. We have the riverboat and the ocean cruise out of New Orleans. Something else that's very unique and quirky about Louisiana is we don't have counties like the other states. We have parishes, and that goes with the Catholic Church, and that was how they were able to separate each area. The state song, well known throughout the world, "You Are My Sunshine," was actually written by our very own governor, Jimmy Davis. And so we've been very proud of that. And
you are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
And Neil, from when you visited for the first time, what was something that really caught your eye? And then from your other visits, what would be some of your recommendations when people are visiting, especially from Europe, that really makes Louisiana something special?
I mean, I think something that is pretty unique to Louisiana and is an absolute must-do for anyone who visits for me would be to go and visit the plantation. Now, obviously, it's a step back in time. It takes a snapshot of history from the initial bringing of the slaves over to work on the fields, then also goes through the emancipation of the slaves, how they became free people of color, and then how that develops into being part of the civil rights movement. But the Louisiana River parishes run basically between Baton Rouge, south down to New Orleans. And it's a selection of different homes, really, that are open as living, breathing museums. And you go in, each one will tell its own slightly different parts of the story. Some of them you can stay overnight at as well, which is just that all-American sort of real southern experience to sit on your patio and enjoy a cocktail. And that runs along the Mississippi River. Then things I've learned and must do for me, having visited, New Orleans is a walking city, no question. Best way to see the city is on feet. We mentioned previously the connection to cocktails. The cocktail was invented in New Orleans. So for me, there's nothing better really than doing the walking cocktail tour, which takes you around a selection of the most historic bars in America, not the world, and you learn the history of New Orleans as you go. And the bars you stop at, we get cocktails, and cocktails with a connection to New Orleans and Louisiana. And we have another unique thing in Louisiana, or in New Orleans, where as you leave the bar, if you ask the barkeeper or the person in the door for something called a to-go cup or a cup to go, they will put your cocktail into this plastic container, and you can walk the streets of the French Quarter in the sunshine, enjoying the amazing music of New Orleans, and you're learning the history of New Orleans as you go. I don't think there's a better walking tour anywhere in the world than that.
Right. Plus, visitors are surprised that you can take your drink in the streets, you know, walk in the streets. That's not very common in America.
Yeah. And if you want to talk about other quirky things as well that come along with it, my second, it's a close second to the cocktail tour, is the Voodoo and Cemetery walking tour as well. Now, Mike and Lauren, I'm sure we'll be able to offer a bit more detail around it, but we had a huge migration of people from Haiti into New Orleans, and with that brought various different cultural differences, and part of that was the culture of voodoo practitioners. So that history is still strong throughout New Orleans. It's a story that's told. You can visit the cemeteries, which are, you know, they're very picturesque. They're cemeteries where the groups are buried above the ground, because you can't bury your dead in the ground in New Orleans because we're built on wetland. But you learn a slightly different side of the history of New Orleans and Louisiana, and how it sort of tips into that voodoo culture. And indeed, you can visit the burial site, or the believed burial site of Marie Laveau, who's believed to be the most powerful practitioner of the voodoo culture. So whether it's, you know, a nice story or you believe in it, it's something that's certainly very quirky about Louisiana and New Orleans.
Sounds daunting to go. Imagine doing that at night in Halloween. Yeah, very good. But yeah.
Braver man than me if you do.
Halloween is a great 3 or 4 day celebration here. You would enjoy it.
No, definitely. And is that a big thing? Like, a lot of tourists come in to look at to view voodoo and do some voodoo tours, Mike.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. No, and there's I've left this question for the penultimate question, as I know we might get carried away with Mike, Neil and myself on here, and Lauren also, who I know is a sports fan, but it's sports. Louisiana locals are very passionate for sport, and it's second to none, especially for American football. And if you're not a sports fan, my recommendation is you still have to experience tailgating at an LSU Tigers college football game. I don't think there'll be any other experience like it. You know, it's going to be absolutely amazing for you to go and try.
Tell me something that someone who has never been to LSU before should expect at a Tiger tailgate.
The time of their life.
And Mike, I'll let you share why this is a must, and also why is sport such a big thing in Louisiana?
Well, fortunately, this is audio. Otherwise, I would show you pictures of Neil Jones at the tailgate party.
He started well. He didn't miss any.
That's right. I have pictures of him with these long skis, and there's glasses glued onto the skis, and the group just drinks it all together.
Fireball.
But anyway, one thing I noticed in my my days of going to see your football is that it's such a family thing here. People will fly in from different parts of the country because to have a cookout outside, because we cook outside before the game, and that's when family comes in and you meet everybody that you haven't seen, cousins, etc. And it lasts all day long. And that really is one of the things, whether it be any college, LSU, University of Louisiana Lafayette, Louisiana Tech, Southern, Grambling, they have fantastic tailgating cultures. So if you're a visitor, I would suggest, even if you don't have a ticket, just go to the game, walk around, because everybody is cooking outside in these big pots. And you tell them you're from England or somewhere else, and they will grab you and make you drink and serve you a plate of food. And that's one of the most fun things about it.
I think that's the big, you know, Southern hospitality as well. Like I said, it's that family friendly, even though you traveled halfway around the world and like, hey, come and join us. No, come and enjoy this. Try experience our culture.
Yeah, especially if you tell them you're not from here. Once you tell them you're not from here, and they, you know, or you wear a shirt with your team, Liverpool or whatever, and they will grab you and just make you eat and drink with them, and that's fun. Because they want to share the culture with you, you know.
Is that right, Neil? Oh, sorry, go on, Lauren.
No, just to say, you know you're in Louisiana when you're treated like family by complete strangers.
Exactly. A lot of our visitors are surprised that people would just talk to them in the street. They'll just, you know, you'll comment to other people on the street about something, and that kind of takes them aback at first and all. But just to go back to football, Louisiana we're a small state. We're number 25 out of 50 in population, but we have more players in the National Football League than any other state, not per capita, you know, total. So it's...
See, there's a competitive edge.
Yeah. That's right. And we have
reendorse what they were saying, actually, about the tailgating and the hospitality. Michael very kindly toured myself and some good friends of mine around for an LSU game a few years ago. And the one thing that stuck with all of us and those that have not been to Louisiana before was that we really never had to wonder where our next drink or feed was coming from. Every time we turned around, there were two people wanting to put a beer in there. You should try their gumbo or their, you know, their crawfish boil, whatever it might be. And it was just a genuine, amazing, warm interest and wanting to know, you know, the nicest way why we were there, what brought us to Louisiana. So it's a real heartwarming, genuine hospitality.
And how about that Louisiana food and Southern hospitality?
Oh, it's the best in the world.
We welcome everyone, and we want everyone to come in and have a beer with us. You can get food from anybody. You can get drinks from anybody.
Yeah, and Matthew, I think a lot of your listeners will probably know some of our athletes from here. You know, they wouldn't know all the American football players, but the ones on the world stage. Do you know who Mondo Duplantis is? The world record holder now in pole vaulting. He's the youngest ever to hold the world championship in pole vaulting. He's famous. He's from Lafayette. Also, another Lafayette athlete just beat Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier in MMA. Are you familiar with Dustin Poirier?
The recent UFC fight between him and
he just beat Conor McGregor about 3 weeks ago. I guess you know who Drew Brees is, our quarterback.
Yeah, I know Drew, not personally, but
how about
maybe.
our most famous athlete, Shaquille O'Neal?
Definitely know Shaq.
Okay,
yeah,
and that's right. Oh yeah, he still Looney comes
Tunes.
Around to the games, yeah. And he takes pictures and plays with everybody. He comes to Baton Rouge all the time. His son plays basketball in Baton Rouge. Are you familiar with the Manning quarterbacks, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning? Very famous.
Yeah.
Is Odell Beckham Jr. famous in England? NFL player.
I would say he's known because he is very blessed to share a name with a former England football captain. So
oh, yeah.
The name stands out.
That's right. Terry Bradshaw, Shonda Rubin, the tennis player from Lafayette. She's well known. Shonda Rubin, that's a while ago. But those are some of our famous athletes.
So, yeah, so who's who of sport right there, especially as you mentioned, basketball and American football, some big heavyweights in the game and some absolute legends. And the Saints, the Superdome, obviously we talked about college, but you've obviously got the NFL there. You've got the basketball, the Pelicans, New Orleans Pelicans, who are doing very well. So there is a lot of sport to go and see and even experience. And one thing that I found when traveling in the States is you may not even have to go to the game. If you go tailgating, that's great. But maybe if there isn't a tailgate, you can just go and enjoy like either Saturday for college football or Sunday in downtown New Orleans and in a sports bar. And I can imagine that the hospitality there and as you mentioned, Mike, people on the street talking to you. Again, even if you're in a bar, you're going to get that amazing Southern hospitality and friendliness and feel part of.
Yeah, and the Saints are a unifying factor in Louisiana culture because your pro team, everybody pulls for the pro team as opposed to certain colleges. But especially after the Hurricane Katrina, when the Saints came back into the Superdome, that was the point where everybody knew that we were going to make it, you know, because that was the governor wanted to make sure that came back first and all. So it's fantastic. And it's a unifying thing for all Louisianans.
So it's a bit of a quirk as well, is that, so you've got that professional team, which are the New Orleans Saints, because, you know, for a home game, you're going to get somewhere around about 80,000 supporters. But then you talk about the LSU Tigers, and they're getting somewhere in the region of 103,000 people.
In the stadium.
So
well, you have twice as many outside.
Plus,
in the stadium.
Plus the same again, watching it on TV, you know, cutting up and having a good time in the car park. So it's, you know, it's the college team is actually drawing more supporters than the professional, which is definitely different to England.
And before we end, my last question to you, Mike and Lauren, how long would you recommend visiting Louisiana for? And what would be two of your recommended trips to do?
Definitely need 3 days in New Orleans and then give yourself 3 days to see the countryside. I think that New Orleans, as far as an itinerary, I would recommend you go to New Orleans, then take the world's longest bridge over to the plantations, stop at our state capital in Baton Rouge, go on over to Lafayette, and then go down to Houma before you make your way back to New Orleans.
It's about a 2.5 hour circle, 2.5 across, and that's really a nice thing for the to see what's around New Orleans. The other one would be to maybe take a lot of people fly into Houston. Houston to New Orleans is 6 hours, so you stay Interstate 10, and you see a variety of cultures there. You have Texas, Houston, then you come into Lake Charles across the border, and Creole Nature Trail and wild outdoor stuff. Then one more hour is Lafayette, and then another hour is Baton Rouge and the plantations, or you can go the southern route through Houma and the wetlands and then go into New Orleans. And that's a nice itinerary that is not very long, 6 hours, total driving, 6 hours. But every hour, there's a different culture to see.
So again, like you mentioned, that even though it's not that far outside of New Orleans, there's so much you can see within a few hours' drive and really get out to explore the rest of the state and use that as even as your base, but to get out and stay in these other areas. Like you mentioned earlier, Neil, the plantations and doing that side of it and getting potentially stay in some of them would be great. And Neil, I don't want to leave you out. So what would be your recommendations on how long, especially when you're flying over from Europe or elsewhere in the world?
Yeah, with so many flights into the region, it's picking your itinerary and picking your route really, because the other thing is we work very nicely with other states. So Mike already mentioned Texas. Another alternative would be perhaps to do Dallas-Fort Worth down to New Orleans. And at that point, you're passing through the northern part of the state, so that means Shreveport. You've got the UNESCO World Heritage Site, Alton Point. For those that have got some very particular, quirkier interests, you've got the place where Bonnie and Clyde were actually apprehended by the police in the northern part of Louisiana. Or your alternative is to head a little more easterly as you come up from New Orleans and travel north upwards, and you'll find your way up to Tennessee, into Memphis and Nashville. We know that's a popular itinerary where, you know, that really is the music triangle to do Nashville, Memphis, New Orleans, or vice versa. That's certainly a big draw for a lot of people here in the UK.
Yeah, and that's very popular itinerary for people from Europe to do the Deep South Circle. Atlanta, Nashville, Memphis, you know, the Mississippi Blues Delta, and then Lafayette, and then New Orleans. And you get five or six different types of music where they were born, and that's excellent. Also, I liked your softness, your word apprehended, Bonnie and Clyde, Neil. That was good.
I took the other 8 years out.
But yeah, so it really is a music mecca as well. If you, when you're combining that music route or music circle of the Deep South, so there is really something for everyone. But even just like staying within Louisiana, I've learned so there's so much more to it than just New Orleans, and you really do have to spend more than maybe just time 3 or 4 nights in New Orleans. You need to spend a week or maybe a little bit longer exploring the rest of the state when you're looking to travel out. And I just wanted to say a massive thank you to Mike, Lauren and Neil for joining us on this episode. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you very much for having us.
Okay. Merci bien.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it with your friends and family and give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And thanks for listening. C'est tout.
Merci.
So come live life to the fullest, where there's an abundance of good food, good music, and good times. So there's more than enough to go around. Come one, come y'all. This is Lauren Daigle inviting you to come feed your soul in Louisiana. You'll never